Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk with member Luke Smith, and he shares his success stories about how he got here, where he's going, what he's failed at, what he's succeeding at, and the whole story.
He's also in sunny Southern California.
Yeah, he is. But before we get into it, let's ask him this first question. How did you get here, Luke? How did you get to Land Academy? How did you get to become a member? Tell us, you can skip the birthing process, but give us some background.
It's a good question. My sister lives in Detroit, and times were really tough in 2008. And she didn't have a job. She didn't have a way to put food on the table for her kids, right? And I said, the houses are cheap. Let's go buy some of these houses. Let's rent them out. I'll hire you. I'll pay. I was making some money at the time. So I sent her out to buy these cheap houses, these ghetto houses in Detroit, and rent the things out, fix them up, and the rent should pay for it over time. And in that learning curve, the cost was realtors and dealing with the banks and the insurance companies. I mean, I was doing this from out of state, from the other side. I'm in California. Originally from Michigan, it was a nightmare. Nobody wanted to sell me those houses. No one wanted to help me. But as soon as I got them, the rents were great and the renters were great and they worked beautifully. And I wanted to buy more of them. That's how I found Land Academy. I wanted to buy more of those houses, but I didn't want to pay the middlemen people. I didn't want to deal with them. I didn't want to have them on board. That was the main cost of the transaction, was all those middlemen people. And I went on Bigger Pockets and I started reading around and I saw some articles of Jack's or Steve's, and he was talking about buying land, vacant land, and doing it through the mail and skipping all the middlemen people. I'm like, oh, I want to learn that. That got my interest. I think if he can do it for land, I could probably figure out how to do it for houses and just skip through the whole process. So I'll try it on land. I subscribe to his stuff and I'm like, I'm just reading all the free side. And I'll do it on my own. I start testing it. And I'll just mail out, Mojave County, right? and next to Lake Havasu, that stuff looks like it sells well. $100 an acre and, these 1.2 acre properties. So like $123 offers. And I couldn't figure out how to print them on my printer. So I was handwriting them. And it's like, yeah, we'll just get them in the mail, like stamping stamps on there. Totally old school. And people got back to me. I'd send 100 of those things out. And maybe 40 people would get back to me because it's handwritten and it's a stupid offer. And they'd yell at me and tell me how stupid I was and everything. But I about fell out of my chair that the people would actually get back to me. They wrote me letters. They sent me faxes. Yeah. They emails, calls, lots and lots of calls. But literally 40% response rate I got in those like 100 mailer units. Wow. And I didn't get any deals, but I got people that got back. And I said, okay. I just didn't do something right, like the price. And so this reaches people. I just didn't get the price right. And then I think it was probably Jill sent out a promo for Land Academy, cash flow for land stuff. It was her style writing, not Steve's. Yeah. So I'm guessing Jill's. It said you get first three people that sign up get free 10-acre property in Elko County, Nevada. Here's the three properties. Yeah. That you get, one of these first three people, the next three people sign up. This is like Friday night. So I started researching those properties and one of them looked like it had a little cabin or something on it. So I said, okay, I'm buying this program. I'm buying it anyway. I don't care about the land. I'm buying the program anyway. And I sent him the message and said, any chance I can get that particular one? I didn't say why, but that particular APN, she got back to me, said, yes, you can have that one. So I got this 10 acre property. That was the promo for getting the package. I don't know what you guys charge for the package now, so I'm going to kind of leave the numbers out, but
yeah,
I paid one price and then it took a month or two or something to get a deed. And like buyers from me now always say, what takes so long to get the deed? I was probably saying that to them, come on, where's my deed? How do I get this property? But eventually I put it up for sale on eBay for a dollar you know, $1 no reserve auction, nice, and just let it fly, see what happens. I made a little YouTube video about it, everything I could figure out about the property, and presented it on there. And the thing sold for $3,383.33. Like somebody just bid all threes, right? And somebody beat them by $50.
Yeah. And so you're already in the black right when you start.
Yeah. Like more than double what I paid, yep, for the program.
Yep.
Right out of the gate. So people ask me, was it economic? I'm like, yeah, it's a no-brainer economic. But then even off the first mailer, so if I didn't get the property off the first mailer, I mailed 29 Palms area in San Bernardino County, and these like 5-acre properties, and I offered, I think it was $1,000, and I got, the first guy that said yes was from Beverly Hills, fancy address, looking up the house online and everything. It's like big, big, fancy thing. And he said, yeah, but you got to buy two of them. It's like, I got to buy two, $2,000, you know? And I hired a notary to go close it. And the cheapest notary I could find in that area was like $250. Never, Jill always said they're $50. I'm like, man, Beverly Hills, come on, guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I got the property and I sold one of those properties to this really nice couple from Michigan for $4,500. Mm-hmm. And they sent me a cashier's check.
Love it.
That paid for both of them and then some. Yep. And
that's the business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. That's the basis of it. So how did I get started? Is it profitable? Yes. Yes. It just right out of the gate, I got other properties from that same mailer, but I don't remember the numbers. It's the first one that I remember.
Yeah.
The others are just, you know,
me too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So that's 2015. Fast forward us now to, you know, mid 2019. What have you done?
So I just got a call today from Title. It closed four properties today through Title. Like 80 something thousand dollars worth of purchases today.
Nice.
And Title, you know, not sending out notary anymore. Rarely do that. And the Title actions are a lot better. Sold one yesterday. It's not completely done, but it sounds like it's happening. I bought it for $10,000 or $10,127.37. You know, put the cockamamie number on the end so people ask you why and believe in it and they don't haggle with you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You put a round number, they haggle. Yep. You know, weird number, they just stop haggling. And you know, I took my $10,127.37, my sevens in there because statistically it's more probable to get accepted. And they took that and I just sold it for $46,777. You know, do some more sevens. And because if you end your prices in sevens or nines, they're like three times more likely to get bought or accepted. It's just classic salesmanship stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that's a lot better than buying it for $1,000, selling it for $4,500. I mean, it depends on who you're talking to. Other people like to buy it for $1,000, sell it for $4,500. I like to buy it for $10,000, sell it for $46,000 because I can do it through Title.
That's what we like.
I can pass off a lot more of the everything else and it becomes more repeatable. Yeah, the work.
So share some of your secrets and why you think you're successful over some of the other people that might be trying to do this right now.
Yeah.
I'm always out of money. I got like crazy need for money all the time. I got that burning passion in the back of my mind. I mean, I can hardly sit down half the time. I need money, right?
Yep.
My wife spends money. My kids spend money. My life is, money's always going out the door. I need money coming in. And so money to sustain those bills and that lifestyle and stuff is a big demand. I need that. Like it's hard to go to sleep lots of times because it's like, how am I going to pay this bill, pay that bill? And a lot of the bills are like old partners I have that want to cash out or something, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the bills that I got going on now. Like I'm trying to pay off the partner and end up with the terms deals of all the leftover stuff we sold on terms, and just they want cash. Something happened in their life. I want to cash them out, and I don't want them to have to wait around for the terms. I shouldn't have taken the terms so many times, but that's how it goes, right? It's a different kind of bill. Still, I would like to. I got a couple partners I would like to pay out right now.
Mm-hmm.
If like this deal yesterday could buy out maybe one of them or something.
Yeah.
Just keep chipping away. And
so what's a regular mailer look for, like, for you now?
This last mailer I just did, I mailed San Diego County. I talk pretty open about what I'm mailing because I don't really care. A lot of people are more clandestine about it, but
it doesn't seem to matter, does it?
Matter. The more it matters.
I don't ever feel like we're competing against anyone for some reason.
Everyone's like, why do you say that? Everyone's going to copy you. It's like, you know what happens? They copy me and their pricing's different, or they don't answer the phone or whatever, and the person calls on my letter because they got someone else's letter.
Yep.
So go ahead, go mail San Diego County. You're not going to come up with the same pricing as me because I went like book and page of every little piece of that county. And so that's more of my style and current mailers from the old school mailers of this price per acre, this price per property. I migrated from this price per acre to this price per property. You know how many like $10,000, $127.37 offers I made? I mailed half of California the same price, People are like, how'd you come up with that price?
Now,
because 10,000 is more likely to be accepted than 5,000 or 9,000, and I don't want to pay 12.
Sometimes I low tech it too. I just write a number.
Yep.
Yeah, and it comes back, and then I say, okay, they want to sell, but that's way too much money for that property. It's not going to happen. Yep. So from price per acre in the original education to price per property to price per that size for that area. And as technology has been getting better, I think it's easier to do that kind of pricing. It takes more time than pricing per acre, pricing per property, but I think we get a higher response rate and a lot more accurate offers. And it's basically just sorting the properties by APN and putting the first little piece of that APN in there and see how much area it covers in the right, the data sets that you guys offer. And one of the particular data sets, you can see pins on a map of all the different properties in that piece of the APN. And so that little piece of the map, and you go price that against what's in the market. There's 40 acres for this and 5 acres for that, little house lots for this. Okay, I want to buy them this much cheaper so I can sell them cheaper than what those guys have them up to offer. And just eyeballing it, bam, 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 bam. When you start the county and you start bouncing around, it's confusing. But after you start doing some, it becomes a lot easier to just roll through and price out that whole county. And then it doesn't matter what county you're doing. Because so in the past, I would look at counties, price per acre, and you look at a homogeneous county, something that's like the county starts out as a square on the map, and then it's just made with squares on the map, right? It's not detailed to a ocean or a river or a mountain range or whatever. But as you get into the more unique counties, that kind of pricing means a lot more. It matters a lot more.
Look, you're one of these kinds of guys that makes this look really easy.
Yeah.
Is it that easy? Honestly.
I don't know.
For you.
That's a good question.
Juggling it all is hard, right? So this last mailer is a little over 8,000 offers, and I don't get 40% response rate on it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I've got spreadsheets going of a bunch of different properties and deeds on the properties and plat maps and links to all different data sets. And I'm scrubbing them, I'm sorting them, and I'm sorting out the best of the best ones and trying to take them and get them into title and make them happen. And sign up some partners to pay for them, right? Because I don't have the money to pay for these things. And so juggling the partners, juggling the sellers, juggling the buyers, juggling the multi-moving pieces, You just got to create systems for it and try to delegate that as much as possible. Like, if you call, you probably hardly ever get me on the phone anymore.
Good.
Just because it's unsustainable. I can't, I can't keep answering as many phone calls.
Yeah.
Do you think, honestly, that you're now not answering your own phone, but somebody's answering it? Do you think it your closing percentage will be negatively affected?
I think so, but maybe because I'm egotistic, or, you know, I think a lot of myself. I'm sure there's people that are better at this than I am.
Jill, can you answer the same question? I know you don't answer your own phone.
Well, I want to hear Luke's answer. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's part of scalability. Like, what's the percentage that actually come through? And, you know, the ones that I'm like saving, it's a longer conversation. It's a lot more work. And those people are the lot more work all the way through the process. The ones that just say yes and sign the paperwork and just go with it, they don't need me to answer the call. They say, I'm so-and-so, such-and-such on behalf of Luke, and I'm the title company on behalf of Luke, working with Luke Smith. I'm so-and-so. I help Luke in doing this kind of paperwork. Yeah. This part of the process is what I do. I know this part of the process. I'm going to help you. You don't want to ask Luke. I'm faster. You know, that's
Luke's the middleman in that situation.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm the person they blame everything on. You know, like, oh, Luke made a bad offer. Yeah, Luke made a mistake. Okay, you know, I'm the scapegoat. That's fine. I get the escalations of stuff. That's fine. Trying to figure out how to juggle it. So
yeah,
it's good. Do you think? I mean, you haven't answered your phone in probably a year. So, but I know you do. But you do the same thing as Luke. I think when you get involved, it's because it's a great deal, you need to make it happen or whatever. So, I mean, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. It's a good spot to be in. I do it by choice, like Luke does. And then, or if I pick up the phone because I want to, I'm like, let me call this guy. I'm excited on this one. You know, I'm gonna do bust out that call. Mm-hmm. So it's special and it's good. And they get it. People get it. And you know what? I didn't know, like you, I don't have somebody off the street. I have someone that they're doing a system. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Her phone's ringing.
Yeah.
I just turned my phone off. I started ringing.
So what?
My phone is ringing.
Where do you, like, have you bought any houses yet? Do you want to buy? What I was going to ask is what happened to Detroit? Like, where is that now?
Yeah.
So I dare you to go pull data on Wayne County. I mean,
no, I've done it. I do it just to laugh and make myself feel good sometimes.
It's awful. The data is awful. It's just absolutely awful. You can't trust it. Like, I'm not going to mail there. Mm-hmm. And I got this one house in Detroit right now that I'm not collecting rent on. The guy's been in there since, I don't know, September maybe. Hasn't paid rent.
Shucks.
And I took him to court and did the whole court process to give him the boot. And the court has all the records and everything. And then the court lost the paperwork.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with that court? Oh. So I had to start the whole process over again. It's another $1,500 to run through the process again and then hire the bailiff to go kick him out. Like, it's not just the data. It's the whole system is broken.
Detroit's broken. I can say that because I'm from there. You know, have you driven those neighborhoods? I know what you're talking about.
I don't want to.
I mean, I have. Yeah. I grew up there. It's, you know, everything you've ever heard about it, it's true.
Yeah. I've been to parts of them. I've never been to the houses I bought there. I've never been to the streets I bought them on. I just don't want to. Yeah. A lot of people ask about the land. Like, do you ever go visit the land? I've never been to one of the properties I've bought. Not a single one of them. I made the mistake of trying the other day to one of these San Diego ones. And oh my gosh. Like, I was wondering about the access. And yeah, I was wondering about the access because there's no friggin' access. It was... The guy that told me there's no access, he's got no teeth, and he's telling me all the neighbors are cooking meth. I'm like, yeah, they're cooking meth? Like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That's, you got no teeth, buddy. You're the meth one.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was, I shouldn't have gone there. Like, I'm not doing that.
That's not what we do for a living. We do data for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't figure it out, I mean, you can hire somebody to go take pictures. Like, I just hired the guy to go to those four properties that just closed in title. I'm like, oh, man, I didn't even get the picture guy out there yet. That should have been like a week or two ago. So I just got the picture guy going to all four of them. You know, he'll go hit four of them in a day. He's probably got to get to the first property at sunup and the last property at sundown to get them all in the same day. Like, why would I do that?
Right.
Exactly. It
doesn't make any sense.
So are you all done in Detroit?
No, I sold a portfolio of houses last year, just paid the taxes on that. It's like so frustrating. I sold it to a guy from Israel who's trying to list them on the Israeli stock exchange. So he's putting a portfolio of them together, not just mine, but others that my sister has done and is still managing. And from Chicago, a bunch of similar style properties from Chicago. And I think it's Cleveland is the other city. I might be wrong, but he's putting them all together and the cap rates on the Israeli stock exchange are through the roof. And he knows how to do it, and he's got the angles, and he's got the connections, so he's packaging them up. And they might be listed already, but he was going to go list them and promote them and list them because it's just really high yields. I mean, he was buying them from me at cash yields of 15%. So we negotiated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, 15%, I'm out of here. I could do land a lot better than that. And he's loving 15%, and then he leverages it from there and gets something better than 15. So,
you know what is not readily obvious, even to people in our industry, is how much the taxes are in those Rust Belt ghettos.
Yeah, they're bad.
I mean, it's a tax. I had several properties in Chicago Heights that I bought for next to nothing.
Yeah.
And had a hell of a time. This is a lot of years ago selling them because the taxes are just so high. The carrying costs for taxes on those properties are crazy.
Yeah. So he took all the easy ones and I got the, you know, the hard ones like trouble tenants or whatever, the weird ones left over that I'm working out of. And then the taxes were awful. That was a huge, huge part of these properties. But I got this attorney that guaranteed that he would cut your taxes in half for, I think the first year he charged like $550 per house, but he wouldn't do it on like a one house basis. He'd do it by portfolio, right? So you need like critical mass. And so we did a portfolio of them and he went and he argued them and he failed at the city level. And which you do, that's just, he's white, you know, he's the wrong color to go argue taxes there. And so he went to the state level and he argued them at the state level, which I didn't know you could do. And that was his whole business plan, is to fail, miserably fail, and then take the paperwork to the state. And he argued the tax level at the state and the state cut him in half. What?
Like an appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an appeals process to a higher court. I don't exactly understand the process, but he did it. And then the next year he charged.
So you can do this every year. They did cut in half at the state level.
Yeah, yeah.
They got it done.
And then in the next year he charged like $750 and he guaranteed almost everything, but not the different filing fees that he had to pay to do it. He guaranteed his part of the money. And then the third year, he wanted like $1,500 to cut it in half again. It didn't make any sense. He got really popular, right? So everyone wanted him. But the girl that was in his office doing it for him left, and she started calling everybody and doing it for like $550 guaranteed. You know, it's like, sweet, we'll do it again with her. So she did it. And she's got to get the right attorney.
I bet the state, you know, loves to deal with Wayne County issues. I'm sure they love it.
Yeah. How fast can we get them out of here? What do you need done?
There's Wayne County and then the rest of it is Michigan.
Yeah. And then if you trade the property, then you got to start over on rejigging the taxes, you know?
So
I want to know what's coming up.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I was going to say, where are your plans now? And
you've been successful at everything you've done from what I understand.
Are you doing infill lots? Are you going to do House Academy? What's coming?
Trying to do infill lots.
Okay.
They're maybe I haven't hit it sweet enough. I tried the red, green, yellow approach and the sweetest ones I could find. And I got parts of California that the numbers looked great and I hit them and maybe other guys were hitting them or maybe they're just really too hot. Maybe I shouldn't go to the hottest ones, but a step back or two. And I get lost in the due diligence process of pulling them off. It's like I get accepted ones And I can see why they're the last one in the neighborhood that's not built. You know, it's the topography, or it's the, this is where the water goes, or this is just the goofiest shape thing, or it's too skinny, or the too, I haven't got any real knockovers for the right price.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
I mean, the closest ones I got are like these $250,000 ones in Rancho Santa Fe, because no one else wants to put up that kind of money.
Oh. Yeah.
But it looks like they sell for $500,000.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Buy them for $250,000, sell them for $500,000. But I don't, that's a different kind of ball game. I don't want to start there.
Yeah.
So it's been easier for me to do vacant land, just vacant properties in the side of town or way out somewhere. And so I was studying for a new mailer this morning, and I was like putting my budget together, and I think, and I got it here in front of me, that's why I'm looking down, is if I could fill it out, I think I'd try about 30,000 mailers. And looking at counties and areas where I could try to get that kind of people made fun of me in the past because I don't talk about doing a mailer per county or per area. It's like this half of the state or that state, you know.
I love it.
We're some of those people.
It's great.
But 30,000 mailers is like, oh man, this is going to be like, you're going to test my, I can't do it in Excel anymore. Like, people don't understand that. That's right. Like an excess data, you know, it's a database function. It's not Excel unless I break it into pieces. Yeah. Like, my computer chugs and spits and doesn't go that kind of data. Right.
Yeah.
I've outused Excel many times in my career, and then they keep extending it.
Yeah. They keep extending it, but 30,000 records with a 362 columns, yeah. I think it is, or 300 whatever columns.
Mm-hmm.
All the data in there. I mean, it's I got a lot of memory.
That's the kind of stuff I love, because I know it's working.
Yeah. Really, but you push a button to like sort something, and then it's like, go make a sandwich. And I mean, it's like dial up internet, you know, that's a lot of data.
You might need a new computer. Like,
that's the old days.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, this is pretty fast computer, but a lot of memory.
That's cool.
But I think it just speaks to the size. I would like to do bigger. Everyone says do smaller, more accurate. And I believe in that too, but we could just do both. Yeah. Just do them all, because I think this third rendition of the mailing style of not dollars per acre, but not dollars per property, but dollars per that area of that property and that size.
Yeah.
It's like hundreds of micro mailers put together.
Exactly. You know,
yeah. Price that neighborhood, price this between this mountain and that mountain, price this valley, price along this river, price this golf course, price along that lake. Each one of those is like a micro mailer. You just jam them all into one, pricing them that way.
It's awesome that you've taken it to that point.
Yeah.
Every single person we talk to in our group that's as advanced as you are has taken this program, the basics of the program, and made it their own somehow.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is just your version of that, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, what's your revenue going to be this year, ballpark? Revenue.
It used to be easier to see, because you could just look at the merchant accounts, and this is all going through credit cards, right?
Right.
Like, I did well over $1 million of credit card sales last year. And I think I can do multiples of that through title. So, you know, credit card transactions, over $1 million in credit card transactions of land. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of transactions.
It really is.
You know? Like, a lot of those transactions are like $100 payments.
Yeah.
Terms and stuff. It's a lot of transactions. So if I can, like today, four deals closed through title in one day. I don't know other members that do that regularly.
Mm-mm.
Like, how do you keep up with that much title? I usually have, two dozen properties in title at any given time now.
Right.
Coming and going, doesn't mean they all close, but I'm trying.
Right.
So dollars. I don't know.
I think it's count that high.
Hopefully.
January 1st, Jill and I set up a bank account. and we're filming it and going through it. At the end, we'll show how much equity we're trying to create equity for certain types of deals that we throw in there. And so we've got an end goal in mind. It's multiple $1 million by the end of the year.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
It'd be cool.
And I'm using partners' money in most all these deals now, right? So it's harder to explain net numbers and gross numbers. Oh, like the difference between net and gross and being able to present it. Some people think, why don't you know your numbers? Like net versus gross, you know, it's...
Exactly.
Well, I'm sure you know them. You probably just don't want to talk about it, which I completely understand.
That's so cool. Love it. Well, we're really glad that you're part of our group. And thank you so much for everything you've done and contributed to everybody. And I love that you're on the in the advanced group and on that call. And I'm going to lean on you because you volunteered to help us with that call.
Yeah.
So I haven't played that card yet, but thank you. I will use that.
So when you're on vacation or whatever.
Or just, you know, last days of filming or editing or something.
Well, you totally helped us out just now on the last minute interview here.
Yeah.
Well, I was also going to kind of leak it here. I thought this would be kind of fun since we're talking to Luke. I was going to leak that. You know, the live event thing keeps coming up and, you know, it's hard to get everybody together. So what we decided is we're just going to do an annual event. So, and it's going to be around the same time and I'll probably have to do a bigger room. Just so you know, I'm looking at doing, we're going to make an annual fall event and I'm going to have the advanced group probably at that same location and make it a closed, you know, borderline free event for just those of us, you know, on that call. And then I'll do a separate event like 2 days after for everybody. And then we, you know, so I want you to stick around. I'm going to have the advanced guys come for your part and then, you know, ask you to hang out for the second part and I'll put it in a bigger room, but that's what we're going to look at. So
I think that would be great. I mean, that's we did that last, the last live event and even had a couple guys come down afterwards, go fishing, took them out in the boat and stuff. And
that's awesome.
Done different deals with them and keep catching up and
good.
It's good to just see their name go by. It's like, yeah, I remember that guy. I had lunch with that guy. I had dinner with that guy. We were talking about this. We were talking about that. I remember his stories on this subject and that subject. It just does a lot better networking.
Yeah. It is.
Well, I've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for an episode called Why a Career Land Developer Picked Land Academy.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Luke, thanks, man.
Thank you.
For everything. It's been years now. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going on four, right?
Going on four.
I'm really glad it worked for you.
Yeah, I didn't get to say thanks to you guys, too. I mean, just thanks for this whole business. I mean, it's just, it's such a creative, fun business, just fits me really well. And thank you. Thanks for sharing it. Thanks for piecing it together and teaching it and being there through the way to follow through with it as well.
Awesome, man.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm glad you effectively cut out idiot real estate rent agents in your business model.
Yeah, exactly. They're easy to skip. Yeah, exactly. I've gone full circle and I started hiring them again because it's
exactly. You know, yep.
Yeah, they let them go to work on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Wherever you're listening.
Or wherever you're watching, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information and inspiration. I'm all goofed up.
See you, bud. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.